Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so happy that the Lord would give you a mind to join us, and you have the opportunity to join us. And I'm just so grateful that he's given us the ability to be here to minister the word and to serve. Amen. So before we get into our work for tonight, I want Prophetess Crystal to go ahead and give us our announcements and lead us in our prayer tonight. And we're going to get into this word. Amen. Prophetess Crystal.
Amen. God bless you, each and every one of you. And once again, welcome to the broadcast. We are so excited that you have decided to join us here at the table in the presence of the Most High God. Just want to let you know, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me, Prophetess McQueen, for a prophetic atmosphere. And you can hear us right here at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We ask that you would take a moment of your time and visit us at our website. Learn more about myself, learn more about Apostle McQueen, and learn more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. Also, please, as you're visiting our website, pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry. We have a mighty, mighty work to do for the Lord, and we need your prayers as well as your financial support. We also have a media page, people of God. You can take a look and see the mighty word of deliverance that God has laid upon Apostle's heart and my heart to deliver to his people. And you can watch all that information on our media page. If you would like Apostle McQueen or myself to come minister at your church or at one of your programs, go to the contact page, leave your name, number, email address, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. We look forward to hearing from you. Also, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. We want you to like us there on our Facebook page. Even go with our Twitter accounts as well. We want to hear from you. Leave your praise reports and your prayer requests. Someone will touch and agree with you there. And those are the announcements for today. Now for the big news. October 18th and 19th, 2013. I am personally inviting you to join me for Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Don't abort your assignment. We're coming out of the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. We are having powerful preaching, powerful teaching, wonderful services that are going to come forth. We have intercessory prayer. We have Pearls of Wisdom with Mother Willie Mae Butts. We have many special musical guests that are going to be coming on those nights. I want to see you there at 213 Stone Street, Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church in Cocoa, Florida. That's 213 Stone Street, Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, Cocoa, Florida. October 18th and 19th, 2013. It's going to be power-packed. It's going to be worship-filled. I'm looking and believing God to come in a mighty way. I'm looking for signs, wonders, miracles, healings. I'm looking for lives to be changed, people to be touched, bodies to be healed, people made whole spiritually, mentally, psychologically, emotionally. I'm looking for God to do exceedingly and abundantly above what I can even ask or think. I'm expecting God to move in a powerful way. And that is October 18th, 19th. All services start at 7 p.m. Male and female are welcome. Even though it is a women's conference, men, we want to see you there too. Amen. My husband will be there representing the men as well as others. Again, October 18th and 19th. Services start at 7 p.m. Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Those are the announcements, people of God. Now let us look towards the Master for prayer. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We honor you, God. We glorify your name. We magnify your holy name. For this is the day that you have made. We have rejoiced, and we are glad in it. Father, even now as we come before you, we humble ourselves at the throne of grace. Father, we ask that you would just wash us in your blood. Wash our minds in the blood. Wash our spirits in the blood. Forgive us, God, for all sin, in deed, in action, in word, in thought. Wash us clean. Purify us. Sanctify us and make us whole again in your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask and invite your presence in this broadcast. We ask that you administer your word in a powerful way. We ask, God, that lives will be changed by your word. We ask that ears will be opened by your word. We ask that eyes will see again by your word. We ask for mindsets to be shifted by your word. We ask for ministries to be birthed and called forth tonight by your word. We ask that things that have been dead and dormant that were designed and called by you to be resurrected tonight by your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that all intercessors would rise up out of the ashes by your word. We ask for prayer warriors to raise up and begin to, call upon the name of the Lord by your word. Father, we ask that you would begin to stir up the gifts that are inside your people by the word of the Holy Ghost tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, as the man of God comes to minister this word of life, we command that life will be coming forth this evening in Jesus' name. God, we thank you and we praise you. We adore you. We bless you. We give your name all praise and glory. We magnify you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you for the awesome prayer, the awesome prayer of faith. Amen. Listen, I want you all to take heed to the announcement saying there's some things that God is doing, God has planned, God has set for us in the body of Christ. And she mentioned the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. And I just want to tell you all that this conference is wow, that's borrowing that from Bishop Samuel Butts. Wow, amen. That's all I can really say about this conference. this conference we've held around the country, different places, and especially in the we started in 2003, having the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. This isn't something that is, you know, Johnny by Night. We just came up with this so we could have something going on. Women of Prophetic Destiny was established back in 2002, executed in 2003, and we've been carrying it on ever since. And every year, God does something new. It used to be that we would get together and look at the numbers of who all was coming and try to see how big it could be. And I found that when you're dealing with souls and you're dealing with assignments, it's not always the ministry with the many that you have to deal with. And that's no shape, form, or fashion saying that these are small conferences. But it is a personal experience. And when we talk about you being able to come in and worship and hear word from God, a rhema word that deals with your situation and your circumstance, this is that conference. Amen. Too often, you know, you'll go around to these different conferences and they'll have the names put on by these different ministries that have been out there and marketed themselves. And what you'll find is a cookie-cutter message, a cookie-cutter format. They'll make sure they take that offer, though. You know, you'll pay big money in your registration, and, you know, in order for you to come in, you know, this will give you early seating, and you will give you a pin with our name on it, and, you know, some other stuff that we might, you know, give you. But your registration will be $149.99. Okay, it's just $150. You know, well, we're not as expensive as them. We're only charging $125. Well, listen, how about you come and let the Lord bless you and touch your heart? What does it cost? Or what would you give for healing in your soul, healing in your emotions, healing in your mental state? Amen. How much would you pay for that? Amen. Better than that, how can you put a price on that? Amen. And that's why when God gives a mandate for these things, we toil with what we're going to do, and we start praying and asking God for wisdom and how to proceed. Now, if you are in the Central Florida area, then let us know. Our website, www.ctkr.org, there, go to the contact page or go to the WOPD tab. Click on that. If you click on that, it'll take you, one of the links will take you to the actual WOPD website, where you'll see on the left-hand side registration. Go ahead, fill that out in the message box. Send us you know, the request and the desire that you have for us to provide the hotel information for you, and we will get that to you. Amen. But you definitely want to make your way here October 18th and 19th, wherever you are. This is not just a Woman of Prophetic Destiny Women's Conference. It is a move. It is an experience, and you really don't want to miss this. Amen. Amen. Now, let's get into this word. It is ironic. I've been reading in the Word. The Holy Spirit took me over to Luke, the 13th chapter. And as I was reading through it, I began to see some things. And I know that time would not allow me to deal with the subject or the scripture that I wanted, which starts at the 10th verse and goes down to the 17th verse. But just past there, I wanted to really get into something, and we'll go back and deal with that 10th. Amen. Because I heard it preached, "Woman, thou art loose." And it's been one of those messages that has been popularized and marketed and mimicked. And we can't take the word of God and make it cliche. Amen. It has to remain the living word of God with the power to change lives. Amen. And we're going to get into that word and look at it. But what I want to do tonight is I want to look at the 22nd verse and begin to deal with there and go down probably about 8 verses. Let's just read, and I will show you where we are. Luke, the 13th chapter, 22nd verse. Starting in New King James Version says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying through Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, Lord, are there few who are saved? What a question. Amen. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Amen. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Hear what I'm saying here. Hear what the word of God is saying. Amen. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. He will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Wow. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. Then they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. Now, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word. It's something that really looked at, that really hit me when I began to look at the scripture, was that the question that was asked of Jesus was simply, Lord, are there few who are saved? And at this point, when the question is asked, we begin to see his response really deals with a lot of positioning. Amen. Prophetess and I were having a conversation prior to the broadcast, and I think that this is a conversation that needs to be held throughout Christendom and throughout the ecclesia, because what we have is a lot of people who are special. I'm using the word one of our goddaughter. They special. Amen. And the thing about people being special is that in their mind, what they're doing is on level. But to everyone else who's looking at them, we can see that it's off. You know, it's off basis, it's off kilter, whatever. It's off. Amen. And there are people out there who are trying to proclaim that what they're doing is kingdom work when they actually have no kingdom mentality. Notice here, they ask, Lord, are there few who are saved? And Jesus begins to say to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Okay, so now he's starting to address it. Notice he didn't give them a yes and no answer. Yeah. What he did was he began to deal with the fact that, you know, in order for you to understand the weight of your question, you need to understand what the process is to answering that question properly. You see this? So he begins to tell them in the 24th verse, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. In other words, there are a lot of people who are trying to find the right way, but the gate or the way to true holiness, righteousness, is not a broad street. Amen? What does it say over here in Matthew 7:14? Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You see that? There are many people who've been, they forgot that they're supposed to be looking for the gate, and they stop looking for the gate trying to find life. So what they're doing is they have redefined the way, and they have redefined a Christian life.
Yep.
You see this? So as they begin to look at it, then they don't feel bad that they're on the broad street, because they have redefined what life is. So they don't need to look for the narrow gate, because they want to make sure that everybody make it. And that's the problem that we have now, when we have a lot of these seeker churches and ministries that just seek to pull a lot of people in and gather a lot of resources. We look at them and we marvel at their ability to have this program and that building and bring in this a religious star or that religious artist, a Christian artist, and do all these wonderful things. And we're sitting back, wow, this is cutting edge technology, and they're doing such a wonderful work. But when you get down past the ooh and the ah, you find out that there's no Christian foundation. There is no Christ. When Christ is used, he's used in passing, because we don't want to frighten people away. Listen, if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. Being that you aren't really serious about your Christianity, but you're more of a businessman or a marketer, amen. See, then that fits your mode of operation, huh? So you can come in and begin to sprinkle Christ on to give it a religious feel without really ascribing to Christian fundamentals. In other words, you don't preach about sin, and the wages of sin is death. You preach about the gift of God is eternal life. So you preach the gift of God is eternal life, but you never say that the wages of sin is death. Because you don't want to say anything that is negative. So people come in believing that God is not a God who is just. You understand? Because you think that they tell you that you can live a life and live a good life, and God will bless you, and he's here to bless you and meet your needs, and all you have to do is ask and he's going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. And the more that you hear that, you still haven't heard that with that claim comes a responsibility to walk upright and holy before him. Mm-hmm. So it's not preached anymore. It's not taught anymore. When people begin to come into church with sin and sin issues, and we begin to deal with sin, now we're told that we're being hard, or that we're being homophobic, or we're being non-compromising, or we have lost the heart of Christ. No, my brother, no, my sister, we have not lost it. We still have it. You're going after a message that tells you that the world and the church should put up with your mess. But the Bible tells us that sin is an illness, and we have the cure. His name is Jesus, and his blood will cleanse you. So we have to get back to this. We have to begin to acquaint ourselves with foundation of the Word of God and with what true Christianity is. Brothers and sisters, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Don't fool yourself, amen. God is not your sugar daddy. He's not your fairy, your tooth fairy. He's not sitting over here, a genie in a bottle that you can just rub and ask him three wishes, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you come to church, come as you are, with your flaws, your shortcomings, your sin, your issues, your iniquities, your transgressions. However you are, come, amen. But when you get here, the Word of God should challenge you to begin to change and modify and perfect yourself. Amen. In other words, you're going to come here messed up. But while you're here, we're going to challenge you to change for your betterment. Amen. We can't have you come in sin, because what happens when you come in a sinner and you stay a sinner in a Christian environment, if you are comfortable, then that means that everything that is provoking you is comfortable there. What happens when the word of God begins to be preached? Huh? Then the enemy gets upset. He begins to cause distractions and try to get you to do anything other than what that word of God is saying. You know, have you ever been at church and as soon as you get to church, you wondering if you cut the iron off? Did I turn off that pot on the stove? Huh? Ooh, did I forget? You're there to worship God, but instantly when you walk into church, the cares of the world begin to come in. You see that? That's the enemy trying to distract you from your worship, from your praise. You see that? He's trying to get your mind off of your assignment. Why are you there? Going back to Ephesians, the first chapter, we are to be to the praise of his glory. Amen. That means that when I'm there, my life should glorify God. My worship should glorify God. My praise should glorify God. You see that? And the way for me to understand how wonderful he is to understand what he saved me from, which means we preach about sin. If he saved me from sin, what is sin? Huh? If he redeemed my soul from hell, what is hell? You see that? And people aren't preaching this nowadays. The Bible says in the last day, men will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heave unto themselves teachers. You understand what's happening now is that we are dealing with the last day scenario where people are heaving to themselves teachers who tell them that they can be rich, who tell them that they can live a good life without ever having experienced a bad day. Listen, you need to read the whole Bible, because even though people came out of things and they were glorified and God blessed them and kept them and delivered them, they still went through some of those bad days. Tell Daniel praying up on his rooftop when they came for him and threw him in the lion's den. Tell him he didn't have a bad day. Huh? Tell the three Hebrew boys as they're refusing to bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up, as they're getting thrown into the fiery furnace. Tell them they're not having a bad day. See, we're not preaching the whole gospel when we sugarcoat it and when we whittle it down to the good and none of the bad. Amen? Because in order for you to understand the grace of God upon your life, you have to understand what that grace covered for you in mercy. See, before you got to grace, mercy covered you. Lord, I feel like preaching tonight. See, we have this mentality nowadays where we have always been good or not as bad. But listen, brother and sister, if you weren't saved, if you had not accepted Christ, you were a sinner. Amen?
Amen.
And if you were a sinner, the wages of your sin was death. Huh? But mercy covered you. Huh? Love came and found you. That is, the love of Christ was preached. Huh? And you heard it. And when you heard it, it began to resonate in your heart. And you became redeemed. Amen? When you were redeemed, you began to walk the walk. Now, I said it before and I said it again. When you get saved, your bills are still going to be sitting on the table. The relationship problems that you had when you walked out the door and the Lord came and spoke to you, that problem's still going to be there. You understand? You're not walking out of the bad life into the good life, and everything from the bad is just going to drop off. What ends up happening is your ability to deal with the bills, deal with the circumstances, deal with the relationships, deal with the other issues and situations that you're in. Your perspective and your ability to deal with them changes once you get saved. Because before, everything that was working in your life was for your destruction. Satan had you there positioned to fail. But once you got saved, the Bible in Romans 8:28 says, and we know this, that all things things work together for good. So when you got saved, that bill now became a point where the Holy Spirit could come in and God could begin to work in your life.
Yes.
See, you have to understand that life got better, not because things disappeared, but because your ability to handle and deal with them shifted and changed when you got saved.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? So then you have to understand that as we preach a whole gospel, you'll see the bad, but you'll see it with the good. You'll see how you missed hell making heaven because of the redemptive properties, the efficacious properties of the blood of Jesus Christ. Saved you, cleansed you from your sin, and now you're part of the family of God through the spirit of adoption, where which we say, Abba Father or our Father. You see that? Now we are citizens of the kingdom. We have rights. We have abilities. You see that? As we walk out our soul salvation, working it out with fear and trembling, we'll see some things in our life as God amends each step that we make. So here, in our passage of scripture, we begin to see then that the question is asked, Lord, are there few who are saved? And Jesus, seeing what they're asking, begins to deal with the question, but he begins to deal with it in such a way that it begins to bring order and perspective to the question. So when he says here in the 24th verse, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. The question is not, Lord, are there few who are saved? But, Lord, are there just a few trying to be saved? I think we can ask that question today. Because what has happened in the body of Christ is we have these different theologies that have pervaded into our churches and have been very invasive in Christianity and in the ecclesia. So once you start hearing these different things, if you don't get in the Word of God yourself, and I thank God for Bishop Garrett, who used to tell us, and Bishop Locke, who used to tell us all the time, say, get in that Word, learn the Word, get into it, take it apart, dig through it, learn it. Every time you scratch at it, it will produce something for you to eat. So when we get into that Word, we begin to see what is inside the Word, and it begins to feed us. So when the enemy comes in with a falsehood or with a Gnostic mentality or approach to Christianity, we clearly see what is God and what is not. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So the question here is, shouldn't be, Lord, are there few who are saved? But Lord,
who's living right?
Thank you. Who's trying to be saved?
Yeah.
Are there just a few who are trying to be saved? You see that? So in 25th verse, it says, once he begins to take them into a parable. And notice now, he's teaching and journeying through the cities and villages going towards Jerusalem. Huh? And when they ask the question, as he begins to tell them, strive. I wish I could take time and just really deal with striving. Because many of us, as we begin to approach difficult things, back up and go try to find a different route. But when you strive, you see the obstacle and you take it to another gear to get over or overcome that obstacle. You see that? It didn't say look for another way. It says go through the way. Amen. That's why when he said Matthew 7 and 14, when he says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. The difficulty here is that you have to learn how to die to your flesh. But I love me. Yes, and God loved you so much, he provided a way of escape from your flesh. Paul says it like this. He said, I die daily. Huh? And as he was speaking about dying daily, he's not talking about this physical body becoming morbid. You know, he's not talking about this physical death, but your flesh spiritually has to die daily. The reason why that is so important is because when you begin to deal with the difficulties of what your flesh would normally do, left to its own devices, versus what the Bible tells us to do, following the precepts of God, you'll find that there's always a battle there. Paul said it like this. He said, when I would do good, evil is yet present with me. You see that? So as I'm trying to do what I know to do, which is right, evil is there. And I find myself sometimes not doing what I should do because my flesh is so alive that it causes me in the face of doing right to do wrong. You see that? So when we begin to talk about the difficulties of walking through the narrow gate, it's not difficult to get through the gate. It's difficult to get rid of your flesh. Mm-hmm. See, we don't want to deal with the sin issue because sin is a pleasurable thing for a season. Make sure that when you say sin is pleasurable, you're talking about, yay. Remember the last part of that, for a season. Because many people have taken on the sin part of it, talking about, you know what, I believe God wants me to live a good life, and you know, hey, he understands, he made me like this, I just gotta be me. Okay, well, that's the problem. Me being me is the problem with this situation. As you are being yourself, your flesh is too alive, and God is trying to get your flesh to succumb to his will. Listen, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You keep telling God, Lord, if you didn't want me to be tested like this, then why don't you put this temptation in front of me? James, the first chapter says the Lord does not tempt, neither can he. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And when you are enticed, you go forward and it produces sin. And after sin has finished what it does, it produces death. You see that? Don't tell me that God is tempting you, God is enticing you, when your flesh refuses to submit to God, when you refuse to mortify the flesh. See, we don't want to preach about mortifying the flesh because the flesh feels good and we want it alive. Thank you, prophetess. And that's why you try to hear from God and you can't hear. Because when God is speaking to you, you hear God's word through your fleshly ears. The Bible tells us in Romans, it says that a carnal mind is an enmity against God. It cannot understand the things of God. You understand? So every time you hear something from God, you hear through your carnality. And if it doesn't make sense with what you think, then you discard whether or not it's God. Yeah. But guess what? The word of God deals with you according to the plan of God. That's why he tells us if your enemy smote you on the cheek, turn and give him the other cheek. But your flesh says if you come over here starting some, it's going to be some. You understand how your flesh is adversely competitive against the spirit. Now, how can you hear from God when you refuse to get the flesh out the way? Amen?
Yes.
He goes on and says here, when once the master, 25th verse, Luke 13:25.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. Hmm. He will answer you and say to you, I do not know you. Where you are from. Let me just dwell here for just a few minutes. Because when he, the master, rises up, you see that? Who rises up? The master. We have this thing with, you know, I have a problem with the church because the people in the church hurt me because they kicked me out. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to deal with myself, but, you know, God knows that I'm just trying. He going to have to work on me. But yes, he's been working on you, brother and sister. He was working on you. And when you refuse to allow the spirit to have his way, see, one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch. One bad orange. We're in Florida. In a bag of other oranges or in a crate of other oranges will call the other oranges to turn bad too. In order to save the others, you have to deal with the one. And when sin is in your life, you're rancid in the body. Amen? So when God comes, he comes to deal with you. And when you refuse to be dealt with, he comes to deal with you again. Huh? And when you refuse to be dealt with, he comes and deals with you again.
Yes,
and the Bible clearly says, let me read this here. Let's go over to Romans, the first chapter, amen, because I want you to see these words here, amen. Romans 1, amen. Let's just read from the 18th verse down. A lot of reading, but I think it's very clear after we get done with it. It says, for the God is revealed from heaven. Remember, the master is doing this. Amen. It's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Let me just say right here, when God comes to deal with you, he's trying to get you to deal with that unrighteousness. You see that? That ungodliness. Amen. We're supposed to live godly lives. We're supposed to walk upright before him. Amen. To the praise of his glory. You see that? So when you refuse to walk upright and you refuse to walk godly lives and live godly lives, then you're living ungodly. Amen. And unrighteous before him.
Uh-huh.
You see that? Who suppressed the truth, which means that he's already came to you. The man, the woman of God has spoken to you. God has spoken to you in dreams. You wake up and say, ooh, that was interesting. I don't know if I like how that felt. Listen, he's been speaking to you and sending others to speak to you. He's been trying to get your attention. And yet and still, after you hear it, you try to put it on somebody else. Ooh, that's terrible. They need to get that together. I know they weren't talking to me. Yes, he was talking to you. He was trying to get you together. He was trying to work on your sin issue. You see that? So what you do is you suppress the truth. You don't want to know the truth at this point. Because every time you go to church, the preacher puts in the program what scripture he's going to be dealing with and the subject. You determine in your mind how much of this message you're going to listen to. Let me just be honest. There's many people that we see turn off from the point that he gives the scripture and everybody, you know, have a seat. And as they begin to go into the scripture and begin to deal with exegeting the passage and taking it apart and bringing clarity concerning what God said, they turn off the word of God until he said, that's why in this Bible. They're like, oh, here, he getting ready to get up. He getting ready to get up. Now, they get up and they pulling on their belts and adjusting themselves and they right here, say, what's it saying? Okay, now they're ready to get involved with this word. But you missed everything that made that part valid. You missed the meat and potatoes for frosting and gravy. See, when you do that, then what you're doing is you're missing the precepts and the word and the rhema that will cause your life to shift and change. The problem isn't that you don't have an answer to the problem. The problem is that you will not adhere to the answer to the problem. So when you are selectively accepting the word of God based on what you feel, your flesh is governing. And the Bible lets us know that as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you be a child of God when you refuse to be led by the Spirit? That's why you live the life and go to church. But you're still before God's eyes ungodly and unrighteous. You see that? Who suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. You see that? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. In other words, God has clearly came and shown it to you. It says here, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Huh? So that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, and understand here, he's not talking to sinners, he's talking to saints, amen? although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor was thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see that? You see that? 23rd verse, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. In other words, what they have done is they have taken God's glory and put it on things.
Sound familiar?
Huh? And all you have to do is go back through our archives and hear about things. Let me just give you a quick come up right here. God blesses us with things, but we're not to bless the things. We're to bless the Lord who gave us the things. Amen. And what happens is we become so enamored with things that we keep running after things, and we forget that we need to be pursuing him. You see that? So you got the car, yeah, but you forgot the one who gave you the ability to get the car. You got the job and you got the money, but you forgot the one who gave you the strength to go perform the job and the faculties of your limbs and your mindset, so that when you got there, you wasn't sitting there frothing at the mouth trying to figure out how to put two things together. See, God gives you the ability to get the wealth, but you can't forget God who gave you the ability to get the wealth. And what people have been doing is that they've seen that there's wealth and there's prosperity, and they've been running after the materialistic side of it without recognizing that he is rich in mercy. He is rich in grace. Huh? Your faith has not extended up and it has not grown so that you are rich in your faith. You see that? We're running after stuff and things, and we begin to worship the things. So what happens here is we professing to be wise, we become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God, huh? His grace, his mercy, his benefits, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. How many people with money are blowing their heads off and ODing and cutting their wrists and doing all kind of self-destructive acts? Because even though they have the stuff, they don't have peace in their mind. You see that? They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And let me just give a warning to those of you men and women who are allowing people to worship you, that when you allow yourself to become the idol before them, you can't have the glory of God upon you. In order to keep that going, you have to become greater in their eyes. So you stop trusting in God and you start talking about, what did I do? Or what happened when I prayed? What happened when I prophesied? Did I see that clearly? Amen. Listen, y'all need to sow into this anointing, because this anointing is on fire. Guess what? You're on fire. And divination has always worked for the devil. But guess what? If you're going to be anointed and prophesy to the nations and speak about the things that God speaks in the kingdom, the things that he speaks in private, then you have to have a relationship with him. And when the glory comes, you can't keep it for yourself. You have to give it back to the one who deserves it. It belongs to God. So I can't worship man. I have to worship God. Amen. Huh? Change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. That's why every time they look out there, they're trying to find fault with the Word of God and with the Bible and with Jesus, because they're trying to find something that gives them validity in their worship style of being atheistic or agnostic or being Gnostic in their approach to God. But guess what? When you start mixing Christianity with any and everything, it ceases to be Christianity. It is not Christian anymore. It is a form of godliness, but there's no power there. And even the power that should be there with the Christianity, with Christ, you deny the power thereof. Amen. Look what it says in the 24th verse then. It says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. In other words, when he keeps coming to you, trying to get you to walk a righteous life, or live a righteous life and live godly before him, you see this? When he sees that kingdom of glory and giving it to any and everything else. Then what he does is he leads you to that. The Bible says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of the hearts. That's why in certain churches there's a lust demon running through the pulpit, through the choir stand, through the deacons, through the trustee, through the usher board, through the mother's board, through the youth department, through everything that move up in there. Everybody fornicating and messing with everybody else. If it's not female with male, it's female with female, male with male. Great, young, old, young, it doesn't make a difference. You rock. Walk up in there, and the big thing about church is not glorifying God, but try to figure out who got caught this week with who, where. See, this is the foolishness that the world is looking at. And because that place has the word church on it, they attribute that behavior pattern to the rest of the body of Christ. See, we got to start preaching and dealing with this integrity issue. We have to deal with the character of the church again. See, we don't want to deal with the character of the church because then that means you got to stop preaching about money. You got to stop preaching about blessings and start preaching about integrity, character. You have to start preaching holiness and godliness. Sorry. You have to start preaching about righteousness and justification. It's not by about how good you've been, but justification is about accepting his way and will for your life. He justifies you, and then he glorifies you. You see that? And when you can do that, when you can allow him to have his way, then the image of the church begins to shine again. Good. I understand then why Jeremiah and Isaiah and different other ones will begin to cry out concerning what was going on in Israel at the time, Ezekiel, and then begin to cry out concerning what was going on. And the Lord, even though he said, I'm going to destroy you, but yet there shall be a remnant. Listen, you have to understand that the last, those that have been set back, pushed back, talked about, played down, downplayed, used, and misused, we come in and try to help, and people see that there's gift, talents, and abilities, and they try to find ways to market it for themselves. Yeah. Guess what? The last shall be first, and those who are the first, some of those are going to go to the back. Now, the reason why the last shall be first is because God is beginning to bring us quickly to the forefront. The reason why he's bringing us to the forefront is because before he allows the whole thing to collapse in on itself, like Eli did when he heard about his sons, before that happens, God will send a remnant that will raise up a judge in Israel. And as we begin to go forth and preach an unadulterated gospel, it's not always going to be popular. These are the people who may not get invited to the big conferences because those are big marketing parties. You understand? These are people who say, listen, we're going to have a conference, but when we come to this conference, we're going to cry out before God. We're going to lay before God. We're going into spiritual warfare. We're going to do what needs to be done. No more are we putting on a show for people and asking them for money to come. We're going to cry out before God and ask for the power of God, the Shekinah glory, the weight of his glory, the kabbat, to come down and set upon us and do something in our midst. We're waiting on him. And when people have an experience from God, then they're not going to tolerate everything that's a fake, phony facsimile of God. They want him.
In your moment.
See, let me say this as our time is getting to the end. You have to understand that when this Bible says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts. See, when we begin to deal with the lust of the heart, we begin to deal with out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus says in Matthew, the sixth chapter, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Mm-hmm. See, the heart is the problem here, is that we have set up in our hearts that God is going to give us everything that we want. So anyone who challenges our behavior or our lifestyle, we think that they're coming against God's will for our life. But in order for you to have those things that God has promised you, you have to change your life so that you don't misappropriate them. You see that? before he made any promises to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, he told them, if you will this day follow the commandments of God and turn not to the left or to the right, then blessed shall ye be. You understand? He gave them the perimeters that they need to have. He set it in a priority. Follow the commandments that you receive from God. Follow the word of God. Follow what he's giving you, and he shall bless you. He shall establish you. He will make you rich. He will prosper you in the land where you're going. And many of us have taken all of those, but we left the follow the commandments to follow my mindset. Follow what I think I can do. We'll follow. I don't think, he working on me. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. Baby, stop telling us you're going to get there. Simply go there. The devil don't mean you any good. If the devil come with something good, you best believe it's going to cost you more than what that thing was. Never look at it and think that maybe you can change it, turn it, or work it out. It was never designed for you to succeed and make it with the devil's plan. The only plan that will make it and that can make it is God's plan. Remember now, we're not reconciling ourselves to Satan. We're reconciling ourselves to God. So you can't come to him with any other plan or way. There's no mediation here between how you want to do it versus how he said do it. It's his way or no way. And it's in there that we have to deal with this issue of choice. Because you think because you have choice, you have sovereignty in what's going on. But brothers and sisters, you have to deal with God. And the only way to deal with them is to deal with them according to what he said. 24 verse, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of the hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Hurt people, and keep hurting each other. Your mindset is that I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to help out. But guess what? The end result is hurt. You see that? Because when you leave his way, you leave his ability to change what the devil meant for evil into good. You see that? Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of the heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth for God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Even a woman exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. 28 verse SBN. Even as they did not like to retain in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, morality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, proud, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, unworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do them, but also approve of them who practice them. Brothers and sisters, the enemy of your soul don't want you to know any of that. That's why you got to get to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, and hear the unadulterated word of God. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're not ending, we're just stopping. Thank you for this word tonight. Help us, Lord, as Saturday we pick it back up and begin to finish this that you're giving us. I pray right now for us who are those who bear your name, Lord, that we get on fire and we begin to walk this out according to your will and your work for our life. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. I decree right now healing in the mind, in the emotions, in the spirit. I speak right now wholeness in the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, that magnificent name that is empowered, that has been delegated to us as the authority we walk in. Thank you for it. Now, Lord, if there's anyone who is not saved, I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church, that they may be developed, they may be matured, and go on to do what you've given them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. That's www.ctkr.org. There, learn more about us. I pray that you will become a fishing partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Telling you and reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.